Good afternoon. And I still have, I hope that you still have some energy left for the last presentation. Thank you very much for sticking around. And see, my presentation is going ahead of me. I don't know why. So let's see if I can go back. Go back. Okay, so as you could see from my topic, I'm talking about public health accreditation, FAB accreditation of health departments. And mostly it's about local health departments, although I have a little bit of data about state health departments. So before I open my big mouth about some of the things I want to understand who is in the audience, I want to know how many of you are representing local health departments. Quite a few of you, thank you. And state health departments? Cool. And is there anybody from FAB? The board itself? Board, okay. Site visitor? Oh, staff member, yes. Staff member. And site visitors? Any site visitors? So I'm also a site visitor. It's fun to be trained as a site visitor. And then hope that you'll get an assignment someday. All right, so with that, I want to acknowledge my collaborators, Carolyn Leap from NACHO, Jiali Ye, Katie Sellers from ASTO, and Carmen Williams, who is my GA at Georgia Southern University. I also want to thank my friends who came just to this presentation because I'm presenting. They want to show some love, thanks. We have no relationship to disclose other than that NACHO funded this, just the analysis of data for this research. Okay, so thank you, my presenters, to cover some of the background stuff. So as you heard, you know, there are three prerequisites, and community health assessment is one of them, and you just saw how a single prerequisite could be time-consuming. And then quality improvement is one of the ultimate outcomes of accreditation, although it's not the only thing out of the accreditation that is expected. I'll talk about some of the other expectations. So by way of, you know, some background, although accreditation is a very recent phenomena, as you know, the first batch of health departments that were accredited happened in February of 2013, but some of the initiatives started in 1988, with in 2004 a National Steering Committee being formed, and in 2007 FAB being established. In 2011 the FAB Standard and Measures version 1.0 being released. In 2013 I believe 1.5 was released. It's still not in implementation yet, if I understand it correctly. So by November 10, there were 54 health departments accredited, and there could be a little bit of, I just tried to separate them by their name, just looking at their names. So maybe there is a little bit of difference, but I think 7 of them are state and 47 are local health departments. And so that tells you by November those that were accredited, but there are many more in the EFAB system. The reason I give you that background, and this is just a copy-paste from FAB's website. So by November 4, there were 306 health departments in the system, 201 were local, 29 state, 2 tribal, and centralized state integrated systems. If I understand it correctly, it's like state covering for the local health departments in centralized states, and multi-jurisdictional entities, like, you know, FAB allows you to apply as multi-jurisdiction entities, few health departments. Could get, I mean, if there is a logical reason to be together, can apply together. Okay, so I'm not going to go into detail, but it's a 7-step process fab accreditation is, and as I was saying, you know, even in the first step by pre-application, by the time you send in an application, you have to have all the prerequisites and a lot more work done. Okay, so objective of my presentation is to talk about the levels, as I said, you know, level of engagement of local health departments and state health departments in accreditation. And this is slightly older news because the survey was done in 2013, but this is the most recent national level data. And then also talk about what are some of the barriers to accreditation that were indicated by the local health departments. I did not include data from state health departments' barriers because there were only two who said they are not planning to do it, so too small a number to talk about it. And then factors associated with the level of engagement in accreditation. As I said, the data comes from the 2013 National Profile of Local Health Departments, which is a census design survey, but the question on accreditation was sent to a module, which was a system stratified random sample of 624 local health departments out of total 32 health departments identified by NHO, with a 79% response rate, and then 2012 ASTO profile also. So the primary question for the outcome variable, which was level of engagement in accreditation, came from the question, which of the following best describes your local health department with respect to participation in FAB accreditation? And the answers ranged from my LHD has achieved accreditation, which by the time we collected the data, there were zero of them at that time. Now we know there are many more. So LHD has submitted an application, submitted a letter of intent to all the way, not decided not to apply, or the state health agency is going to apply. So these were the response categories. For multivariate analysis, we dichotomized this, you know, scale to the first three, which is first three that were valid, like my LHD has submitted or submitted a statement or plans to apply. So B, C, and D were combined, and E, F, and G were combined for the multivariate analysis. There's a list of independent variables, but you'll see them also later on. We tried multinomial logistic regression and other methods and found out that maybe just the binomial logistic regression would be the right choice for this, for multivariate analysis. Okay, so a few results from that are descriptive to show you the level of engagement as it appeared by the time the 2013 survey was conducted. Only 6 or close to 7% of health departments had either submitted application and or submitted the statement of intent. 28% planned to apply. Large proportion, 37 or 38%, were undecided. And 14% or so plan to not apply. Now, I want to see how you guess. You think that more state health departments are engaged in terms of proportion of health departments engaged in accreditation? Do you think more local, higher proportion of local, or higher proportion of state? How many think that higher proportion of state health departments are engaged in accreditation? Few people. Proportion of the total. And how about those who think that high proportion of locals is? Not many. Okay, so equally divided. Equally divided, okay. All right. So that's one good reason for me to be presenting this. So look at the state. So state is a higher proportion that were engaged and planned to do. Very few were basically not going to do it. So only two said that they had, two out of the 49 or so said that they were not going to do it. And so I presented numbers. These are numbers, not the percentages out of 49. I'll let you calculate the percentages because these are small numbers. Okay, so a little more engagement by state health departments than locals. All right, now we are back to LHD. Those health departments, those 128 who said they plan to apply, they were asked, when do you plan to apply or pursue accreditation? Around 50% said that they would do it in 2013 or 2014. So if this was true, then roughly 1,200, or not 1,500, but 1,200 something should be in the system. But we know that that's not the case. So a little bit of discrepancy between wanting to do something and actually being able to do, and for the right reasons, you know, it's very resource intensive. Okay, so how about reasons for not pursuing? Now, for local health departments, the top reason was that the time and or efforts exceed the benefit or perceived benefits, because nobody knows the benefits yet, right? Return on investment or those kind of analyses are not done yet. Those who have gone through this, they love it. Those who can't do it, they would tell you all kind of reasons. So the second highest reason is for health, local health departments, fees being too high. And the third reason is standards not appropriate given what those local health departments do. I imagine that these are the smaller health departments who think that, you know, health you know, standards that are appropriate for larger, more mature health departments or well-staffed health departments or well-funded health departments may not be appropriate for them. Okay, now, certainly the table shock, logistic regression. So basically all I want you to see is the last column of p-value and the first column, and you would know which variables are significantly associated with level of engagement. Dichotomized, I told you there were two categories of engagement. And so population size was positively associated, and then state-governed health departments were more likely to be engaged in accreditation. To me, that's slightly, somewhat unexpected, because I do a lot of other things when I look at the, you know, governance category. For instance, this morning I was talking about health informatics capacity. Decentralized health departments were more likely to have that capacity many, many more times compared to the centralized. But in this case, centralized are. And I guess the reason being that state can actually help the local health departments as an umbrella organization get ready and, you know, technical assistance, provide technical assistance and so forth. So that might be the reason. Now, having a strategic plan completed within 5 years was positively associated with accreditation commitment, but having a community health assessment wasn't. And I think I can guess the reasons, but we can talk more about it in the question answer. Okay, and having an MD degree for some reason, it might be proxy for other things. You know, I'm always, being an educator, I always look at, you know, the impact of being a DRPH as a top executive, having a degree of DRPH, MPH, or like a general PhD versus MD degree. So in this case, MD degree holders versus all others, 1.44 times more likely to be engaged in accreditation. Having no local board of health, so I don't know how many or if anybody represents a local board of health. Local board of health is very useful for many things, but for some reason in this case there is a negative association between having a local board, one or more local boards of health. Okay, and networking in the past with other organizations for community health assessment was highly correlated, or it was a strong predictor. And I think this is the final of the long table, which I cut to make it manageable. So being well-funded was helpful. Having per capita expenditure of $65 or more, which is the highest quartile, was basically associated compared to every other category. So all other odds ratios for all other categories compared to this reference category are really small, almost half or close to half. So that means those with the high, that are highly funded, they are roughly twice as likely to be pursuing accreditation or being engaged with or planning to pursue accreditation. Okay, so as we saw, this survey is slightly older information. There is fairly decent engagement in accreditation, but it's not like totally less hop on the bandwagon kind of idea. Local, I think diffusion of innovation theory applies to this. And actually, in the paper that we wrote about it, that's how we explained this slow engagement. And so that might be the one way to explain why not everybody is actually just starting to get involved. And as I said in the beginning, right now there are no models of, so why should local health departments pursue accreditation or not? As folks in my department, I mean in our college, and me being involved with that team, started to provide technical assistance to Georgia local health department for their readiness. Many of them actually wanted to understand what's involved in the accreditation, and some of them actually decided that it's not for them to pursue it, not at least in near future, but later on maybe. So return on investment is not clear to many health departments, and it's very resource intensive, and particularly for smaller health departments who are having difficulty just getting by with the, you know, as it was mentioned, in the post-recession era, with reduced budgets and reduced staffs and, you know, other changes and other demands on the staff, where health departments are required to do more with less. This may not be the most feasible thing for them to do. So, but it does provide some incentives, at least in the literature. Some are based on the studies that are conducted, most of them small-scale studies. It provides, a pathway. It helps health department to show accountability to some standards and consistency. As I said, you know, quality improvement, it incentivizes quality improvement, and it incentivizes a match between what are the community health needs as opposed to what health departments are doing. And uniformity across health departments are some of the maybe expected benefits. I just somehow stuck this limitation of the study thing in between before ending, because I didn't want to end on limitations, that this is self-reported data, and it's the timing we already talked about, that it's slightly, outdated data. Anyway, this is my last slide. So what should be done based on what we have learned from our own experience in providing technical assistance and also, through analysis of the data, we think that in this case, you know, some things happen well if it's bottom up, where, for staff level movement or whatever would move the leaders. I think accreditation is, and the nature of the accreditation resource requirement is so that it has to be somewhat, coming from the leadership, so maybe top-down kind of approach. And so it should be a higher priority for the leaders. Those health departments who have presented in this conference and other conferences who were the early adopters, they always mentioned the leadership being, at the forefront. So that is one of the things that need to happen for those who are on the fence right now. Financial resources, as I said, in terms of fees, in terms of getting the prerequisites done and having the teams together, you know, the coordinator for accreditation and other sub-teams. So, for example, in one of the instances in Georgia where we were providing technical assistance, when we went to meet the team, accreditation team, it was somewhat like, you know, as many people as in this room, because there were like four or five, each domain had, like there are 12 domains, so many of the domains had like two, three, four people. So add together and you are working with 36 or 40 people. Some other people work at a different model, but the idea is that there is a lot of resource requirement. And so, you know, some folks say that it's not about just the resources, it's realignment of the resources. And maybe by being more efficient, we can become, you know, you can recover the cost. It's like when you are thinking about you want to put the lowest grade gas and or the highest grade gas and think that you would catch up by getting more mileage kind of thing with the same amount of, I think that same idea that you could have a higher quality service and your impact could be greater if you do things in line with the you know, standards recommended by FAB and standards that are best practices and so forth. Okay, with that, I would end my presentation and I'll be happy to answer questions on that.